Hi there, this is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Today's lesson is the conclusion of the series on fasting from Matthew 6 and Isaiah 58. We look at the benefits of fasting, important activities during a spiritual fast, and very practical aspects of fasting. This lesson was presented in the fall of 2010 to our adult Bible study class at Eastside Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia. Note that class discussion is edited out whenever personal matters are shared. Thanks to Mark Justice for audio recording and editing. God bless you as we open His Word.
Well, it's really exciting as you listen to all this stuff. It's exciting to see that God's working around us and among us. And that's huge. That's huge. And so we should all remember to give thanks to Him for that. Yesterday, I was just thinking how awesome God is. I got up, and on Saturday mornings, usually I spend a little bit of time just getting caught up on the web and stuff, and then I'll have daddy-daughter time, and then, you know, sometime later in the day, I'll set aside a few hours for, in this case, just to, you know, to make sure I know what I'm talking about this morning, get any stuff ironed out. And man, yesterday morning, I just said, you know what, I think I want to think about that now. And we're, anyway, and man, it was a good time. And I was just thinking, God, you're awesome, because I don't deserve anything like this, for Him to visit me with a really good time in His Word. And like I said a minute ago, I got really excited about the fasting stuff, even more so than I have been. And there's lots more scripture that I wanted for us to cover, but here we have only 25 minutes left. And we have tons to do. But we're gonna go just as fast as we can. And we'll see. My goal is to get finished, Tony. My goal is to get finished. Now, by the way, I'll talk about that at the end. But anyway, my goal is to be finished today. Let's get with it. And I just wanted to begin by discussing the benefits of fasting. Now, what we've done so far, we spent some time in Matthew, where we saw that Jesus assumed that His followers would be practicing their righteousness by fasting, just like they would be doing it with prayer and with giving, right? And we spent a lot of time, 2 weeks if I recall, maybe even three, in Isaiah 58, studying what God thought, what God said about fasting. How not to do it, how to do it, what the benefits are. So that's where we've been. Now what I want for us to do is just summarize the benefits of fasting. And by the way, I remembered this time. Let me go over and read it. I will read it because it's very important. The following is for education and entertainment only. It is not intended as medical device, device or advice either. It's not intended as medical advice. Before changing your diet, please consult a physician. Okay, everybody got that? Good. All right, my lawyers made sure that I said that. I'm joking, but...
No, you're not.
No, anyway, be careful, okay, is the bottom line there. Anyway, what I wanted for us to do is start out talking about the benefits of fasting, because they're numerous, and I just want to make sure that all in one capsule we hear the benefits of fasting, okay? First of all, it will break the cycles of sin and defeat. We've already heard about that in Isaiah 58, but I want to remind you of one more scripture. Remember in Matthew 17, where Jesus, it was just right after the transfiguration, and this guy walks up to Jesus and his disciples and said, "Would you heal my kid? He's demon-possessed." And then the guy says, "Your disciples couldn't do it. I brought him to your disciples. He couldn't do it." And Jesus said, "Oh, because of, you know, why couldn't we? Because of your little faith." And He said, "But this kind comes out only with prayer and fasting." And so what does that tell you? It tells me that fasting is like bringing out the big guns. So if you have areas of sin and defeat where you just think, "Oh gosh, I've been praying about it. I've been praying hard. And I just can't stop this, or I just can't get victory here, or whatever, I can't get over this hump. Well, fasting may very well be the answer. So that's exciting. And then number two, and I'm not going to number, anyway, the next one. It will bring your flesh under control. You ever sit there facing a temptation? Maybe a meal. Happens to me a lot these days. Or not wanting to get out of bed. Or whatever, some sort of lustful thing or what, you know, whatever. And you're being tempted with something that your flesh really gets into, whatever it is. And you're sitting there going, I don't want to, but I don't seem to have any control. Well, fasting will solve that problem. Fasting will restore the order of who's in charge of your body, who's in charge of your flesh. Scripture passage, I love this one. This is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 9. And he says in verse 26, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave." The King James says, "I bring it unto subjection." Talking about with your flesh. "Lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself would be disqualified," or in the King James, "I would be cast away." So fasting is a primary way to bring your body into subjection. It is telling your body, no, I'm not going to give you what you want in one of the foundational core things that your body expects, right? Your body's been eating usually three meals every day for all of its life, and it expects it. And to break that, say, no, I'm in charge, not you. May sound a little strange talking to yourself that way, but that is absolutely the case. And if your body is in charge and you don't want to get out of bed and you want, and you go ahead and eat what you shouldn't eat and all whatever else, fasting will restore the order so that you're in charge of what your body does. It will put you in charge instead of your flesh. So it's a great thing to do. Just a week or two ago, a friend of mine at work was talking about this passage. He said, "No, I follow 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul says, I buffet my body." We were about to go to breakfast. Anyway, and it's funny, the pun there, because it's exactly the opposite, right, of what we're talking about, and it just so fits. Anyway, so it will bring your flesh under control. Next, it will instill in you a thirst for God. Remember, we've talked about this, how that especially for a longer fast, that you will begin to hunger, of course, but realizing that you're doing this for God and that there is some stake you've driven in the ground that I'm not going to eat until this happens, God, until you answer my prayer, until you meet this need, until you do this, I am not going to eat. And that just transforms that hunger that you feel in your stomach into a hunger for God, and it will restore that proper hunger for God. And I just there are plenty of places that you can find this in Scripture. I found in Psalm 109 earlier in the chapter there. This is, of course, David talking, and he says they were hungry and thirsty; their souls fainted within them. And then later on. Verse 9, "For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." And so that to me just reminds me, over and over again in Psalms especially, how hungry and thirsty we can be for God. And fasting will restore that, will transform that hunger into a hunger for God.
Is there any relationship between fasting and the hunger strike?
There is, and that's a good question. You know, there are a lot of things that we talked about early on in the study and that we'll talk about today about what fasting is and what it's not, as far as the spiritual fasting that we're talking about from God's perspective in His Word. And a hunger strike, while effective and maybe for great purposes, is not a fast of a spiritual nature, on the surface at least. Good question. So next. Fasting will give direction from God. And we've talked about this, how you're making a big decision. You don't know what to do. Maybe some of you out here are considering finding a spouse. and you're joking. No, whatever it is, maybe it's a job decision, maybe it's a move, maybe it's whatever, family, important family decisions. Who knows what all decisions we have among us today. But, and you're sitting there going, God, I need to hear you. I need to hear you. I'm not sure that this direction is from you. A fast is a huge way to get there. And it just excites me. Remember, even in Isaiah 58, there at the very end where we saw the blessings of fasting and how that God said, if you fast, then you're going to be the restorer of the ancient ruins. You're going to, all this stuff. And then you look just over and over in Scripture. How many people fasted before some major, major ministry or service for God? And you look at that, and I found a couple of scriptures, of course. Remember Matthew 4, where Jesus, what happened at the beginning of Matthew 4? He was drawn by the Holy Spirit to go into the desert to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted for 40 days. Well, what happened right after that? Have you ever noticed what happened immediately after the fast and then the 40 days is over, the temptation's done? Well, the very next thing that he does, from that time on, the scripture says, he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then the very next thing that he did was he started picking his disciples. And so even in Jesus' life, but if you look at Paul, what was the very first thing that Paul did after after he saw Jesus? He met Jesus on the road to Damascus.
Got his eyes opened by him.
Before that, he fasted for 3 days. And if you look throughout Scripture, over and over again, as people are at a place, at a turning point in their lives, fasting was part of the mechanism of God giving them direction and equipping them and setting them off in ministry. And I'm just thinking, wow, in this class, in this group of people, what might God begin if we were to begin fasting? And I started thinking about that. I just started wanting to shout, because we have no idea. We have no idea what could happen in our very own lives if we were to begin to fast. So, all right, and then just some reminders from Isaiah 58, more benefits of fasting. The only thing it doesn't do is slow down the clock. I'll just read through these. He will break the bondage of sin and of evil. You will recover from what is currently keeping you down. He will protect you. He will be close to you, and he'll answer your prayers. He'll guide you. He'll bless you even when the circumstances around you are dire and others are suffering. He will heal you. Remember, I'll strengthen your bones. Remember that. He will use you, and this is just what makes me so excited. He will use you to restore your nation, to bring safety and peace. Wow. Wow. That to me is just thrilling to think about that. Now, in addition to that, there are a couple of non-spiritual benefits that I wanted to mention. There are lots of non-spiritual things about fasting, right? Fasting comes up in lots of things. You'll go to some chiropractors or other people like that, and they'll say, oh, you need to do this for, you know, get rid of the toxins and all that stuff. I don't know. Don't know about that. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, but... what?
No, I'm just... stuff that they say.
Yeah, so I'm not suggesting that. And by the way, fasting is not a diet plan. Because unless you fast a whole lot, and I'm talking 2 or 3 days a week from now on, it's not going to have any significant impact on your weight. Even after an extended fast, your body shuts down a lot of stuff, the requirements go down a whole lot, and then it also sets itself up so that when you begin eating again, it's going to take you back where you were. So it's a net wash as far as that goes. So don't do it for that reason. But doing a spiritual fast will have at least two other benefits that I wanted to point out. You will have clarity of thought like you remember having when you were young, when you fast, which, by the way, is one of the great things about it, that as you spend time in the Word, just the clarity of thought helps. But the fact that it's a spiritual exercise just makes it awesome. Okay, so you'll have clarity of thought, and fasting is like is a reset for your body. When you fast, your body resets. And what that means to me, what I've noticed in it, is that whenever you fast, or maybe do you ever get to the point where you're thinking, you know, you think, okay, it's time to eat. I feel hungry, but I don't know what I want. Nothing sounds good. All that stuff. You need to fast. Fasting will reset that kind of situation. And it'll make you want just any food. yeah, that sounds good. Crackers, sauerkraut, cream of shrimp soup. Yeah. I mean, honestly, but when you get to the point like that, and there are some other things about it, other things going on, if you're having, now, I'm no doctor, nor the son of a doctor, and I gave you my thing a minute ago, so remember that. But all that being said, if you have any kind of digestive, intestinal, anything going on, fasting is a great reset for that. It's not the reason to do it necessarily, or at least not, it's not, that doesn't make it spiritual. But as you do this fast for the right reason, that's a side benefit that I wanted to mention. All right? Yes, you in the back. We're getting there. That's next. Yeah, see, in fact, right here. No, I just want to say one more thing, though. I can't help the clock. I'm working on it. I just wanted to say one more thing, because as I was praying through this yesterday, I thought, remember Matthew 6, when Jesus was talking about when you fast, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. I started thinking, what is it? And all of a sudden it came to me, the correlation. Why does God want us to do these things? When you give God your wallet, then He knows He has your heart. When you give Him your desires and prayer, He knows He has your life. When you give Him your stomach, He knows that He has your body for His service. And so that, to me, brought it all together. Now, how to fast. Application. Okay. We're going to talk about that now, Jill. All right, how to fast. Now, first of all, I'm not going to minimize other types of fasting. If you read books about fasting, they may say, oh, you can give up potato chips, or you can give up sugar, or all this stuff. I'm not going to minimize that, but that's not what we're talking about. We are all the fasts that we read in the scripture are fasts at least away from food. We won't talk about dry fasts, which are food and water. Have to be real careful with that, okay? So I'm not going to suggest you even go there until you're quite advanced. We're going to just talk about not eating. All right, so that's the first thing to make it very clear. So what do you do when you fast? What's the focus of it? And then we're going to talk about some really, really, really practical stuff. But first of all, what should you be doing when you stop eating? What should you do instead? Well, first of all, and most importantly, you should pray. Prayer and fasting just completely go together. Prayer and fasting, it's like the other side of a coin. They both go together. And so when you if God leads you to fast, then the first thing for you to do is to plan on spending a lot of time in prayer. And the very first part of that prayer time should be spent in confession and repentance. That's the place to start in prayer. Confession and repentance. And then take that time that you have set aside and just spend unhurried time with God, seeking His face, waiting to hear from Him. Maybe, many times if you fast, you're seeking an answer from God. You're not going to get that going through a list, check, 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 check. Okay, I'm done. No, there is no list. It's just, God, here I am. You're awesome. You know what my needs are. You know what my goal here is. But you know what, God? You may, in fact, have some completely other list of priorities for this time. So steer me in that direction if that's where I need to go. But God, just talk to me. Please talk to me. And to just sit there and wait. And He will. He will. And it may take a little bit of time. That's why an extended fast is so great. Because you get hungrier and hungrier to hear from him. So, unhurried time. Read the Bible. Plan on spending a lot of time in prayer. Plan on spending a lot of time in the scripture. Because remember that clarity of thought? Well, also, all the crud that's in us that distracts us from having a spiritual sensitivity to God, that starts to fall away. And the Bible is, as we all know and agree, a living spiritual document. It was written by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit uses it to speak to us, and to our spirit. And as we are fasting, all of a sudden that channel, that communication, can happen much, much more readily. And so when you're fasting, plan on reading a lot of Scripture, and read large sections of Scripture. Read books of the Bible at a time. Not necessarily Psalms or Genesis or something. Not that big, but like Philippians. You know, some of the greatest times you'll spend in the Word would be to take an epistle from Paul and just read the whole thing. All of a sudden, reading the entire it in its entirety will give it a whole new meaning to you as you spend time reading. And so allow God to just speak to you as you read sections of Scripture. So that's another thing to do. Memorize Scripture in that time and meditate on it. Once again, with that spiritual sensitivity going on, then you will get greater benefit from that than ever. Take time to minister to others. Remember, a lot of what God talked about in Isaiah 58 was making sure you take care of other folk who are hungry and who don't have any place to stay and who don't have any clothing. So ministering to others is an important part of what you can do while you're fasting. And make sure, just obviously, but just make sure that the time that you usually spend eating, that just for sure that time is set aside for spiritual pursuits of prayer and Bible study and meditation on the Word. Yes, you in the front.
Can you talk a little bit about how, as parents of children, especially those of us who still have little children at home, like how you can practically still cook?
Yeah, we're going
to
get to that.
And you don't want to tell people you're fasting, but your children obviously are going to be like, well, why aren't you eating with us? You know?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay. That's right next. Okay. So that's kind of a what to do, the purpose of it, right? That's the focus. But now let's talk about just really nitty-gritty detailed stuff about fasting. Because if you've never done it, especially if you have kids and family and all this stuff and responsibilities and you have a job and all this stuff, it's hard to figure out how to do this. Because it is kind of a minor break from your usual schedule. Eating, you never realize until you stop, eating is core. Eating is a core activity for what we do with our lives. And so to stop is a pretty big change. So let's talk about some real practical stuff here about fasting. Now, first of all, you may need to work up to it. I wouldn't recommend that you start off with a week-long fast. But I would highly recommend working up to a week-long fast. Now, it may take you a while. In fact, a one-day fast may take a while to work up to. But unless you have physical stuff that would cause you to have concern, and if you do, then talk to your doctor before you do it. I am being serious when I say that. But otherwise, fasting isn't bad for you at all. It doesn't hurt you. It helps you. But what you may want to do is begin just by skipping one meal. Dinner, the evening meal, is really oftentimes the best one to skip. Because then you already have a built-in gap, and then you have a longer gap. You go from lunch to breakfast. And you have that evening time, which when most of us aren't working, we may have other responsibilities, but it's a time when we can very likely cut out some time to spend with God. And then after a few successful attempts at that, then maybe breakfast to breakfast, or dinner to dinner, or something like that. And then finally, after maybe a few successful attempts with that, to skip an entire day, go from breakfast, skip breakfast and lunch and dinner, and then eat breakfast the next morning. So actually, think about it, that's nearly 36 hours or so. So that's really a great step in the right direction. And even, you know, what I always try to do is right before I eat, it's a great time to spend those last extra special time, minutes, moments with God, because you're at your most sensitive. You're at your clearest in thought. And so that's what I'd recommend. But after at that point, after you're able to fast a day, then, you know, one of the things, please don't hear me when I talk about this as trying to fast before men, as the scripture talks about. This is just talking about from my experience. So that, you know, when I was single, it was so, I won't say it was easy, but it fit so well. I fasted a day a week for a long, long time. And it was easy. But with us, with families and stuff, that can become difficult. Don't let it stop you. Now, how much you fast is totally up to you, just like how much you pray and how much you give, all that stuff. That's between you and God. But I would highly recommend regular fasting, and especially, though, the most meaningful times I've ever spent have been extended fasts that would be a minimum of 3 days, but 5 to 6 to days to a week. Just awesome. Incredible times with God. And so I would really, if you could work up to that, then that would be worthwhile. Yes, you in the side over here.
I have to say that one of the reasons why I really believe that God was able to break through to my heart to save me, he fasted for me. He did. And he got so thin, I remember. But his heart was breaking, and he knew that I needed God, and he fasted, and it works. It was incredible, yeah.
So I really recommend extended fasts. And but you may need to work up to it. But that's an awesome goal. And so then the question, though, you brought up a minute ago, how do you do it? How do you do it when you have family? Well, you know, for me, it became such a normal part of my life back when I was single that I'd go out to dinner with folk when I was fasting.
How do you do that, though? Because people kind of, they give you a hard time, like,
and no, I would just say, no, I've already eaten everything I need to today. But thanks, you know, we just keep talking and whatever. And it was just fine. It was just fine. Maybe a little weird, but whatever. They expected that of me, right? So it just fit right into the rest of the abnormality. But I personally think that it's not just okay, but good to let your kids know that you're fasting. And so if you're a mom, especially, since you have responsibilities to cook, you'll still probably have to cook. Because a lot of times husbands and wives will fast together, and so it's not like you can shove it off on them because they're fasting too. But, you know, find some way to rig it. Honestly, for me, since it is such a spiritual exercise, and since I'm not, I'm hungry all the time, so you know, to not be able to eat, even though I can cook, and I think you probably will find that you can too. You can cook, you can be around people who are eating, and you just do it, right? You just do what you have to, get them their food, and then you can go off and spend time in prayer and Bible reading. And I think for us to tell our kids what we're doing would be perfect. Because I want my kids to. Now, not when they're kids. I don't know how old is old enough, but certainly mid to late teens would be the first time I would even consider it for a kid. And maybe even older than that. That's, once again, a question for a doctor, not for me, but late teens or 20s would be the time to start, in my opinion. So you just do it. Maybe there's some meals that you can cook ahead of time. And if you have older kids, you can say, it's in the fridge. Go for it. It's the one labeled Tuesday. And then, you know, let them handle that so that you know, if you feel like that's harder, too hard to face, then maybe they can handle it. Maybe you could just run and grab something at the fast food place for them or something. You know, just figure it out. But you just do it. You just figure out a way to do it. And there are some other things that I was going to talk about in a minute. But you have to be careful. All of us have responsibilities. Some of them have physical exertion. You need to be careful with that. You can continue working if you have to. It's not like you have to not work. For many of us, that's pretty well standard routine. So, but if you have stuff that's physically strenuous, you need to be careful because you will become weaker. And so you have to be careful not to do things where you're really having to carry heavy stuff, or you know, this is the week, or this is the period of time to not go to the gym.
operate heavy machinery.
Or yeah, not operate heavy machinery. says so right there on the label. It says right on the label not to do that.
Talk about the sense of smell too. Come back.
Yeah, there's so much that happens to your that happens to your body. Any questions before about practically how to do it? I mean, you just do it. You just figure out a way to make it work. And in our schedule, you know, I think that's one of the ways the enemy keeps us from spiritual pursuits is because of how busy we all are and all the things that are on our plate. We think, oh, no, I can't do that because of this. And no, the answer is, yes, I can do it. I will do it. And we'll just figure out how to make it work. And so that's the attitude that I would suggest. Just figure out how to make it work. Your body, we'll be finished quick. We're nearly done. So let's speed through, okay? We'll be a little late, but that's usual. That's typical. Your sense of smell will become what you think is acute. Now, what really is happening is that your body is no longer smelling. You're no longer smelling garlicky because of the Italian food you ate. You're no longer smelling whatever else. And so you know that whenever you smell something after 5 minutes, you don't smell it anymore. Well, you don't smell a whole lot of how you smell because your nose is used to it. Stop eating. And all those smells will go away, and all of a sudden you'll be able to sit by somebody and tell them what they had for dinner the night before. I know that sounds gross, but it's not. it's not. But just be aware. So I'm going to try to run through a few things that you just need to be prepared for. Okay. So your sense of smell, you all of a sudden are aware of a whole lot more smells around you than you're used to. Something else that's you're going to have bad breath, really really bad breath. So just get used to it. And what you'll also notice is that your tongue will probably get coated with white. And what I'm told, although I don't know if it's the truth or not, is that that's toxins that your body's finally able to get rid of and they come out on your tongue. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've been told by lots and lots of people. That is a big part of the cause of your bad breath, by the way. So brush your teeth often. Very often. And if you're still working and you're in meetings with people and stuff, you have to be really careful and carry mouthwash with you or something, you know, whatever. But you don't want to take any mints because then the sugar will just whoo like that. Anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that. You may have headaches. Now let's talk about this for a minute. You mentioned this, Kitty. Well, I'm not a doctor nor the son of a doctor. I've mentioned that. I am certain that the reason you have headaches if you stop eating is because of the caffeine that your body is addicted to, physically addicted to. I have, since I stopped drinking caffeine, anything with caffeine in it, I've never had a headache since when I fasted. But I used to have horrible headaches for the first day or two. It was because of that I got off of caffeine because I realized my body was addicted to it.
You don't have those headaches if you just come off of caffeine and you're still eating, you know? I mean,
Oh, yeah, you'll have them anyway. You stop caffeine, you'll have headaches, whether or not you're fasting. Good point. But just be prepared for that. And if you want to be able to fast regularly and not have headaches, then
get off
the caffeine. Yeah. Well, just get off of it for good, and it wouldn't hurt you. All right, drink plenty of water. And if you can, make it distilled water, but at least good filtered water or something, okay? So you need to make sure you drink plenty of water. That's very important. You should also make sure that you agree ahead of time with your spouse, I'm going to be fasting. Works out well if both of you do. No sex. It may not be an issue. Good point, Eric. Thank you. No, it's because of the no physical exertion part. That was... no, not that either. No, I am being serious about... Okay. Okay, we're out of time.
Well, clarify whether you're talking about being serious about not having sex or being sick physical exertion, because some people may...
The physical exertion part I was serious about, the no sex part I'm serious about. First Corinthians 7, verse 5 says that you should not withhold sex from your spouse except when you're fasting, and then only with agreement.
Yeah.
right? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Yeah. And so the point of this is that you should be having sex a whole lot unless you're fasting. Okay? So look at it that way, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 7, 5. Gosh, this is Bible drill level. Yeah, we're recording. Anyway, so yes, I am serious that when you are fasting, because, I mean, remember what we're doing here. We're telling our body, no, you don't get what you want. And not that there's more to sex than just the fleshly part, because there is, but a big part of it is the flesh. And therefore, we want to tell our flesh no, which means no eating and nothing else that you enjoy either, like sex. So that's that.
What about TV?
Probably not. That would be a great time to be in the Word and praying. Good point. All right. Last point. Come off of a fast slowly. Now, a day fast, that's no big deal. Really. You can go right back into whatever you're used to eating for breakfast the next morning or whatever. But if you do an extended fast, then you need to be careful because your body, it's like going from 0 to 60 again. And used to, your body was used to doing all the digestive function. But right now, it's stopped, completely stopped. Everything about your digestion stops when you're fasting. And it's wonderful. That's why you have energy in your brain. You know, the blood's going there instead of here. It's great. But you just have to be careful. And so I would recommend starting off with something like crackers, saltine crackers specifically. Okay, not spicy, bland, just something to get it rolling again. And then, you know, an hour or two later, you can start getting closer to normal food. Or juice is another way to come off of a fast. But I'd be real careful to make sure that the juice it uses is not acidic. Okay, so like apple juice, maybe, I don't think it's acidic. That's the least acidic one I could think of. But not OJ, not tomato juice. Grape might be okay, even though it's kind of acidic. I don't know, but just be careful. Because once again, you're starting your body back up again. All right, that's it. Any questions real quick?
I think when you said that about TV, that there's a big difference. I know, Jill, we have mutual friends who are Catholic that their kids would they would choose one thing during Lent every year. You know, and that's a common practice among several even denominations that they'll just say for, you know, the 40 days of Lent, I'm not going to watch TV or I'm going to not have chocolate or whatever. That's a totally different thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I witnessed my dad do a 40-day fast on multiple occasions. And he would, the first week, you know, abstain from everything. And then to sustain him, he would do broth.
Yeah. Clear liquids is a real common something for an extended fast.
Like, the reason I mentioned the TV was because in Isaiah 58 it says, you know, when you fast, you do what you want to do for your own pleasure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so I think,
well, yeah, if you're filling that time with TV, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And yeah, but I think it's a good idea. Typically, if you can. All right. Any other questions or comments? All right. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. I just want to ask you, in summary, in conclusion. Would fasting benefit you? And do you think that God would have you to fast? That's the question you need to answer. We've spent lots of time in the Word to see the background for it, the how that God commends it to us, that Jesus expected it. But does God want you to do that? And then hopefully we've talked about how. Totally talked about the benefits. And it just, if it doesn't make you want to run around shouting, I don't know what can, about what could happen if we were to choose to.
Maybe would that like maybe be easier if we do something as maybe as a group, as a Sunday school, let's say maybe, you know, motivate each other or, you know, be accountable. Let's say Friday, I mean, say the day you have, you know, we're going to be praying for a specific issue.
That's a great idea.
Do Friday fast and maybe, I mean, to me, you can study, it's going to be very tough. But I mean, if you maybe like group or something, maybe motivate yourself or try it, maybe that kind of, you know. Help, like,
that's
start, like maybe one day that we can say, like you say, this day the thing here, maybe day before Thanksgiving or something, you know, something like, you know,
before the election.
Yeah, some, you know, something that you think, you know, that, that I don't know, maybe there's something that as a class we can at least try, at least start to get started.
To know that, you know, we're all fasting together, that we're praying for each other, and
yeah.
That
That would be great. And I think that the election coming up would be a great focus for prayer, in addition to what we would put on our own list, right? How about we could either do it next Sunday or next Monday or Tuesday? Would a weekday be better than a...
I have to travel. I really don't want to be fasting all
my time. And that's okay. Well, and by the way, if we were to do it, okay, remember, it's completely up to you. Yeah. It is just like everything else. It's not good if you do, and it's not bad if you don't. It's us seeking God and obeying Him wherever we are, right? So maybe let's pray about that and be looking toward that for next Monday as a possibility, okay? Great idea, Tony. Thanks for bringing that up. All right, we need to pray and be gone. God, thank you for the time we've had over the last weeks talking about fasting. And Lord, I pray for each of us that through your Holy Spirit, you would give us the grace to hear you and to hear your call on our lives with respect to this discipline. We pray, Lord, we ask that you'd help us know what to do, that you would give us the grace to do it, to fast, and that you would help it to move us toward you in a way that is so obvious to us that we think, how did I ever miss doing this before if it is our first time? And Lord, that we would see such benefit that we would want to do it more and more. And more importantly, Lord, that we would see things change as a result of our fast, that we would see ourselves change as we get closer to you and hear from you, and that we would see your power through our lives, changing us and others around us, and even changing our nation. God, we pray for that. We pray that you'd help us to receive and experience the benefits of this discipline. Thank you for this class, and Lord, we ask that you guide us together toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we made it.